Hello everyone and welcome to the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Chapin. For this week's episode, with week 14 being the final opportunity to make the fantasy playoffs, we'll focus on our week 14 rankings by providing advice at each position. So starting at quarterback, we have Jared Goff as a top four option in a probable shootout versus Dallas on Thursday night. Amon-Ra St. Brown likely being out, obviously could hurt, but Goff still had 20 fantasy points last week without St. Brown, and the Lions could pull out every trick they have for such an important game for them. So the offensive line needs to hold up versus the improved Dallas interior, but Goff should be a top five option at home and carries plenty of upside with Detroit playing through Jahmyr Gibbs and Jameson Williams. As the QB8, we have Daniel Jones. He'll take on Jacksonville in a key divisional matchup. The Jags are much better attacked through the air than on the ground, and they've often been picked apart when opponents have time to throw. So with Shane Steichen showing he'll attack the weakness of opponents, I like Jones as a strong QB1, and Jacksonville has allowed 24-plus fantasy points in 5 of their 12 games to opposing quarterbacks this year. And beyond that, if you need a streaming option, I like Marcus Mariota best, assuming he starts in place of Jaden Daniels again. The Sunday night loss to Denver showed how good of a quarterback Mariota is. So with Washington healthy at the skill positions finally, and Mariota doing damage as a runner, he should be a high-end QB2 and a top streamer with the poise and touch to overcome the blitz-heavy Vikings defense on the road. At running back, I mentioned Quinshon Judkins, I don't think here on the podcast, but on wolfsports.com, being very undervalued as an RB1 play. Most viewed him as a low-end RB2, but he came through versus the Niners, and now gets a great draw versus Tennessee, and it again comes at home. I also said I think Shedeur Sanders being a quarterback helps out Judkins with a more traditional offense, and that's been the case, so look for him to be fed, and I think people have now boosted him into the RB1 ranks, but we have him as the RB7 for week 14, with a raised floor and ceiling, with the Browns likely not getting blown out by Tennessee. As the RB14, we have David Montgomery. He came through on Thanksgiving with the touchdown. Dan Campbell said they wanted to give him more touches, and he definitely adds a physical element to the offense. So even with the Dallas run defense improving, they've allowed running backs to total 107 rushing yards and 0 touchdowns over the past 3 games. I still like Montgomery as a high-end RB2. And again, I think we'll see Detroit pull out some tricks if needed. So keep an eye on him in the Wildcat, like we saw on Thanksgiving and as we've seen in the past. For the Minnesota backfield, it sounds like Aaron Jones is just day-to-day, so I'd expect him to suit up this week. But I prefer Jordan Mason, even with Washington being another defense that improved versus a run coming off the bye. Over the past 4 games, Mason has averaged 6.6 yards per carry, and he should have the short yardage goal line role. So we have him as the RB25, ahead of guys like O'Marrion Hampton if he plays, and Devin Neal if he starts again in place of Alvin Kamara. So Mason, a solid low-end RB2 flex option, and I think the Vikings will lean on the run with J.J. McCarthy back under center. And hopefully you're set at this point and don't really need to dig deep at running back, but a few teams on a bye still for week 14. So Blake Corum could be someone to consider in lineups. He's essentially rotating drives with Kyron Williams at this point. Last week, Corum had 7 attempts for 81 yards and a touchdown. So with the Rams looking to bounce back this week in Arizona, Corum can be a quality flex option, and he also brings handcuff appeal for the fantasy playoffs. At wide receiver, with Amon-Ra St. Brown expected to be out, the aforementioned Jameson Williams will be a top 10 option. Thanksgiving showed his potential as a feature target, and that will be the case again this week, especially with Sam Laporta also out. So JMO we have as our wide receiver 9. The Cowboys could get Trevon Diggs back on Thursday night, but I don't see them stopping JMO, so he has a raised floor in addition to the always high ceiling. As a wide receiver 24, we have Michael Pittman Jr. taking on Jacksonville. Last week was a tough draw. He basically saw Derek Stingley Jr. all day, and that led to Alex Pierce being featured. But Pittman has had some huge games versus Jacksonville in the past. Since his rookie year, he's gone for lines of 571, 664-1, 13-134, 897-1, 9-109, 537-1, and 672. So with a career high 7 touchdowns already this season, Pittman should be a low-end wide receiver too, despite being a guy we're often lower on than others. Right behind him, we have Chris Godwin taking on the Saints. That's another divisional opponent where it's a good matchup for him, and Godwin made a couple of big plays last week, looking healthier as he rounds back into form, so he should be considered a top 25 option, with the Bucs being more explosive, with Bucky Irving back and Mike Evans returning soon. And moving back up into the top 20, we have DK Metcalf as a wide receiver 18, and it's been a struggle for him and the Pittsburgh offense in general, but I think he could bully the smaller Baltimore corners on the outside, so I don't see why they wouldn't try playing through Metcalf, especially after giving him a huge extension after trading for him in the offseason. At tight end, we have Kyle Pitts as the tight end 6, assuming Drake London is out, But even if London's back, the Falcons finally played through Pitts last week. He had 7 catches for 82 yards, and now he'll take on a Seattle defense that's been exposed by tight ends, with 13.1 fantasy points per game allowed to the position, which is 4th most in the NFL. And that's even without allowing too many touchdowns at tight ends, which unfortunately hasn't been a strength for Pitts, despite his skill set. So he should be a clear tight end one in a game that Atlanta will probably need to score in. A couple of spots behind him, we have Dallas Goedert versus the Chargers. Last week was quiet despite the Bears being down a few linebackers, and Goedert was even asked about that after the game. But I think they could end up overcorrecting by giving him more opportunities on Monday night. So I would get him in lineups and prefer him to the other side of that game, with Aronde Gadsden facing an Eagles defense that has been stingy versus tight ends. And there's some uncertainty there with Justin Herbert dealing with that broken hand. And then quickly, that leads me to defense and kicker. Typically don't give much advice here, but I'll mention one name at each position. For defense, the Eagles I would play with Herbert banged up. I would have considered them anyway, with the offensive line being question mark for the Chargers and Herbert getting sacked quite a bit. So after back-to-back disappointing games for the Eagles, we'll see if the couple of extra days to prepare has them better on Monday night, and I expect the road game in Los Angeles to be more of a home game for Philadelphia. And at kicker, we have Will Lutz as a top 5 option against the Raiders. The first game was a massive disappointment for him and the entire Denver offense, but that was a weird Thursday night game with wind impacting things. This time will be at Allegiant Stadium, and last year Lutz had 5 field goals versus the Raiders, so I think he should bounce back and is a very good option for week 14. So that will conclude this episode. As always, you can find our full rankings on wolfsports.com. And if you're a Fantasy Consigliere member, feel free to reach out with any questions you might have. Until next time, best of luck this week, and thank you for listening. I'm Dylan Shapine, and this was a Fantasy Consigliere podcast.